Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Nice to have you with us. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and we are excited because we're continuing now this 12-part series we have been doing Tuesdays at 1 o'clock, which is what it is now. It's Tuesday at 1 o'clock with Dr. Paul Pierce, who's the founder of Nova Biologicals in Conroe, Texas, this remarkable laboratory that tests and evaluates so many different things. You name it, they do it. They test and serve drinking water, medical devices, environmental issues, pharmaceutical devices, textile, cleaning supplies. They are an all-around extraordinary testing laboratory based in Texas, down in the section of Texas closer to Houston. They're probably about 30 miles outside of Houston, I think, where it's a very warm day today. But we've been talking with Dr. Pierce about many different things, the environmental issues that they work on and focus on that have been really pretty fascinating. And there's nothing that Dr. Pierce and their team of scientists enjoy more than a challenge, and they're always getting involved in new projects. Sometimes they come from the recommendations of a thoroughly satisfied client. Others, it's a matter of following their great instincts. Anyway, today we're going to be focusing on water, drinking water, which is an issue that is of concern, obviously, to everybody. Everybody who's listening to us, even if they aren't listening to us, drinking water is one of the key issues that they have to be concerned about. Because, like it or not, we all drink water, and we all want the water to be clean and so that we don't get sick from it, right? All right, Dr. Pierce, welcome back. Nice to have you with us. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Doug. I really appreciate it. Nice to hear your voice today, and look forward to talking with you about the drinking water issues and some of the new information that's come available, and hopefully help the listeners understand a little bit better about what they can do to protect their health and protect the safety of their drinking water. So I'm excited to be here and really enjoy this opportunity to share information.
Well, let me begin with a question for you. I understand a study recently took place at Northeastern University and explored water contamination and PFAS. A lot of people may not know what you mean by PFAS, but anyway, could you explain a little bit what these toxic compounds are and what is a PFA? Anyway, what is that?
Well, that was a very interesting study. There was a study done, like you say, out of Northeastern University, and there's a group there called the Environmental Working Group, and they evaluated drinking water from 43 states and then 43 of these states had drinking water sites that were contaminated, or sources of drinking water that were contaminated with these PFAS chemicals. And these are chemicals that are used quite frequently in the manufacture of different types of plastics, different types of coatings that are like nonstick coatings that you find on pans and pots and that keep food from sticking during the cooking process. But these PFASs, they're fluorinated, what they call fluorinated compounds, but they're toxic. And so these compounds are used in the manufacturing of all manner of plastics and plastic containers and coatings that are nonstick. And so it has created a problem over the years in how those manufacturing residues of the PFASs were disposed of. And now all of a sudden, or not so all of a sudden, they're starting to show up in the drinking water, so showing up on our food, in our food, and it has become a real problem because these particular chemicals have significant health effects. And so it's a situation where we have to be very cautious about the quality of our drinking water and ask that our drinking water, our municipalities, our drinking water providers take the necessary steps to make sure that the water is not contaminated with these particular chemicals. So it's an emerging issue, and it's an emerging situation where we think that our drinking water supply is mostly safe, but when you look at the amount of water that we use, mostly safe is not good enough. And so that's where these PFASs come in, these polyfluorinated compounds, these chemical compounds. They're toxic, and so we have to begin to really look at how we can prevent them from getting in the water supply in the first place, and then protect our health and well-being that is associated with the water that we drink. So
I was just going to ask you, how did they get into the water? Do we know?
Well, yes, we do. It's one of those situations where during the manufacture of certain types of materials, packaging, the coatings that go on nonstick utensils, the disposal or the garbage that goes into landfills that has plastics in it that contain these toxic compounds, all of that leaches into the groundwater, leaches into the water, and ends up in our drinking water. And so over time, you can just imagine that if there's a big landfill somewhere close by and it rains on that landfill, then all the leaching of the toxic chemicals, these PFASs, the leaching of that or the elution of those chemicals, it gets into the groundwater and that ends up in the drinking water. And that creates the real problem. And so what we've seen is this, you know, there's what we call the water cycle, and the water cycle is such that the water is reprocessed by nature, and as it percolates or it trickles through the soil, then it ends up in our wells, it ends up in our surface water. And even though we have water treatment plants, those water treatment plants, for the most part, do not remove many of these toxic chemicals. And so it's a very complex issue, and so it comes down to, okay, where they're coming from to begin with, and then how do we avoid them being introduced into the drinking water supply. So it sounds easy to fix, but it's really not, because you know, we're such an industrialized country that a lot of these chemicals have just become a part of the manufacturing process, and we have to take the necessary steps to protect ourselves. You know, the biggest thing, Doug, is that as I've looked at this, and we've looked at a number of case studies related to these toxic chemicals, not only just the PFAs, but also you know, the lead and the arsenic and those type of things. When we start talking about the impact that they have on human health, it's just really important that we take necessary steps to prevent those problems. You know, low infant birth weights, for example, that's not a good thing. And many times these toxic chemicals can create that situation where an expectant mother unknowingly consumes contaminated water, and she has a child, a baby, that is of low birth weight. And so that's not a good thing for the mother or the child or the family. And so we have all of these contamination problems, you know, the compromised immune systems, cancer, thyroid hormone disruption. Those types of things can all be caused by these toxic chemicals, and PFAs is one of those chemicals that can cause all of those complications with when you consume it or when you drink it. So it's a big issue. It's one thing just to have contaminated water, but the fact is that it creates a problem for human health and safety. And as we know, with our population getting larger and larger, and manufacturing capacity going up to accommodate for that increasing population, we have to take very positive and very meaningful corrective action to avoid harming our population with these toxic chemicals. So,
and those things, those PFAS come from plastic, is that right? That leaches
That's
then into
correct.
The ground. And plastic takes forever to degrade. In fact, it doesn't degrade. Well, I guess it does eventually, but I mean, those plastic bottles that go into the landfills, they stay there for years and years and years and years and years. Am I right? That's what I've heard.
You're exactly right. And quite frankly, we don't know if they ever will disintegrate, because there's not at the current time, there's not a good biodegradable plastic. And so all of the plastic bags, boxes, water bottles, all of the plastics that go into landfills are a source of these PFAS and other toxic chemicals. So, it's a big challenge, and it comes down to where we just need to know about it. You know, the consumer, the people that are listening today need to ask their public water supplier, whoever they're buying their water from. Let me see that. You know, we talked about this, I don't know, a few weeks ago about the consumer confidence reports. Public water systems have to issue every year a consumer confidence report that details the test results of the drinking water for their citizens. And so it's always a good idea to check that. It's online for most public water systems. You can go in and look at it and just see, okay, what's in my drinking water? And then you're empowered to ask smart questions when you go to city council meeting or board meeting. You can ask those kinds of questions to how do we improve the drinking water quality in our particular community. So, as I say, it's something we just have to be aware of, and it's beginning to show up more and more in the media and in things that the Environmental Protection Agency is addressing and public water systems are addressing.
You know, I want to ask you a question. I'm not sure if this is one, you know, appropriate to ask you, but somebody told me at some point, and I've always remembered this, that obviously we have to keep cleaning and purifying the water that we drink and that we use, because the term was, we're not making any more water on this planet. All the water that is in the oceans and on the planet itself is the same water that's been here forever. We're not making new water. Is that right? Does that ring a bell to you?
Yes, it does. And that is a fact. There is no new water. I mentioned a minute ago about the water cycle. Well, all of the water that's ever been or that ever will be is here. We have it. And the more contaminated it gets over time, the harder it is for nature and for water treatment systems, the harder it is for it to become clean. And so you can just imagine, if we've got 7 billion people on the planet Earth now, in 25 years, let's just say there's twice that many, 15 billion. Well, that's a huge pressure, a huge influence on the quality of the water. But you're right. I mean, it's the water that's no new water is created.
It's constantly being recirculated. The water, you know, it's possible.
Right.
I drank a glass of water this morning that 400 years ago Shakespeare could have been drinking, right?
You're exactly right. Yeah, you're exactly right. So
I'll be there.
That's where all the creativity comes from. Is that right?
Yeah.
But that's exactly
right.
That's
the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let me, you know, I have always heard, and so why are scientists suddenly worried about the quality of U.S. drinking water, which the question comes up because the U.S., America, has always been thought of as having the most superior water on the planet. Am I right about that?
I think that's a fair statement, yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's because of these PFAS and other things that the scientists are now really worried about our water supply, let alone what, you know, is available in other, you know, countries around the world.
Right. Well, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of good things related to our water treatment system in the U.S., in America. There's a lot of good things, but you know, if you put it in perspective, let's just say, 10% of the water that we consume, that we drink, just to say 10% of it does not meet the EPA standards. That means 90% of it does, but 10% doesn't. Well, that translates to 240, 250 million glasses of water per day that don't meet the standards. Now, who's drinking those? Are you? Am I? Who knows?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are drinking unsafe drinking water. Yeah. So we say it's really safe, but that's really not good enough. 10% non-compliant is that's, you know, it's kind of hard to say, but that's a failure. You know, when you flunk, you know, 10 is failing. So so it's a real problem. Even though we have the best drinking water, we've got, say, 10% of it's not the best drinking water.
Yeah. Right.
And some of us in the country are consuming that.
Let me ask you about what you do. You guys evaluate. You're constantly testing water from communities all around the country where it's sent to you to be analyzed. What are some of the outbreaks that are triggered by problems with the drinking water, either chemical, viral, or parasitic in nature? Because there are things that are started by. Talk to me about some of those issues, the outbreaks.
Sure.
Legionella, yeah, that's one of them, I guess. There are others.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a great question because as time marches on, the bacterial or the microbiological outbreaks, the outbreaks that are caused by microbes continue to increase. And the Legionella is a good example, let's just say. Well, let's say in 2000, say 5 years ago, there were, maybe 20 significant outbreaks of Legionella. Well, in 1975, there was less than one. So that means it's been over the last 30 or 40 years, there's been a 20-fold increase in Legionella outbreaks. And Legionella is a bacteria that contaminates water. And so that's come about because of the fact that our water treatment systems are not sufficient to handle and sanitize the drinking water to eliminate the Legionella. And there's a lot of reasons for that. It's not just the water treatment companies, but it's the fact that Legionella is hidden in a lot of different places within the water system. So Legionella, the E. coli outbreaks are on the increase. The parasitic, and this is things like Giardia. People may have heard of Giardia or Cryptosporidium. Those are on the increase, which, by the way, let me mention this because I think it's important to a lot of people, particularly in summertime. The Cryptosporidium and the Giardia can be a significant problem in recreational swimming holes, swimming pools, splash pads, water parks. And so the owners and the operators of these water parks and splash pads and community swimming pools have to be very careful about making sure that the Cryptosporidium and the Giardia are killed off or disinfected to eliminate the potential for people, the consumer, the citizen, keep them from getting sick. So that's something that you know, when kiddos get out into the water in the summer, you know, they won't spend their whole summer there. And they run the risk, if the water is contaminated with Cryptosporidium or Giardia, the kiddos run the risk of getting a Giardia or Cryptosporidial infection. So just kind of a warning, I guess, that if you're going to a splash water park or splash pad where there's a lot of people, just make sure that they've got good sanitation procedures at that park, so that your kids don't get sick, that your children don't get sick.
Most people don't check on that when they go to a park. You know, how do you tell if the park has good procedures for keeping the water, you know, pure? it's tough to do, I would think.
Well, it is tough to do. You have to ask that question. You have to go online. You have to see who the owners are, ask them for their certifications, their purification or their sanitizing certifications,
yeah.
and all that sort
yeah.
of thing. But you know, Doug, that's a great question, because we trust people to help us take care of ourselves. And so
You're
we
right.
have to work together. You know, we have to work together to protect ourselves. And so it's just one of those things where we just all have to be aware. And if it doesn't look right, if it smells bad, if it doesn't look
yep.
like it's well maintained,
don't touch it.
Then don't go there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the EPA, I know, created and monitors standards under what is known as the Safe Drinking Water Act. Tell me a little bit about that act. I really don't know much about it. And what Nova Biologicals can do to ensure that our drinking water supply is conformed to those standards established in that Safe Drinking Water Act. Talk to me about that for a moment.
You bet. That's a great question, by the way, because our observation, because the EPA, over the years, you know, it was formed back in 1974, I think, and the EPA was formed to help protect the environment. It is the Environmental Protection Agency. And once the EPA was established in the mid-70s, and they created the Safe Drinking Water Act, came into effect shortly after the creation of the EPA, and it's been updated. It was updated in the 90s. But that Safe Drinking Water Act requires that public water systems and the water that they sell meet certain testing standards. And these standards range from bacteria to chemicals, to organic chemicals, to pesticides, to herbicides, to chemicals like the PFAS. The drinking water is supposed to fall below what the standards are for safe drinking water. So that Safe Drinking Water Act lays out the levels of contaminants that are acceptable, that are allowed to be in drinking water. And there's a whole host of different tests that people can go online and look under EPA, and you can look at the Safe Drinking Water Act and the standards for safe drinking water. So it's a regulatory process. It's based on test results. And in order for water to be deemed safe for human consumption, the test results have to be below the standards established or the levels established by the Safe Drinking Water Act. And so
I was going to ask you about, I'm sure you're pretty well aware of this because you test water from all over the country. What U.S. regions do you think have the poorest statistics for compliance? How would you answer that?
The regions, you know, I really think it's hard to, you know, kind of tag a particular region as having
poor
good
water.
Safe drinking water, yeah, or poor water. There are areas that historically have problems with their drinking water because of the source of the drinking water. I'll give you an example in Texas. If you go out to West Texas, and we're Conroe, Nova is located in Southeast Texas, which is down by the Gulf of Mexico around Houston. But if you go out west of Conroe about 300 miles, then you are in what we call the Hill Country. And that Hill Country has a lot of water that comes with from mineral sources that comes from underground, and those underground sources will have higher levels of minerals. They'll have higher levels of lead. They'll have higher levels of arsenic. They'll have higher levels of what we call total dissolved solids. And So that water is by nature is not safe to drink. So it has to be treated pretty rigorously to get those harmful chemicals out. Some
right.
areas, some areas, if you go along the southeast part of the United States, you know, it's down by the Gulf of Mexico, and there's what we call estuaries, where it's kind of a mixture of fresh water and seawater. And so that water is has to be treated and has to be prepared in such a way that it's suitable for drinking. So, you know, the mountain states, they have their own set of problems. When you look at all the snow that melts and all the water that runs down from the mountains, it picks up all the minerals and all the contaminants that might be in nature, and it flows into the drinking water source. So I don't know if we could say that one is worse than the other. We all have our problems, but we are all working to solve those problems. So
keep it clean now.
Yeah, just to keep it clean, but it's all of our responsibilities.
Quick question for you, as we're slowly running out of time here. You know, there have been a lot of heavy storms, tornado activity in various sections of the country the last couple of weeks. Do these events like that and all these swelling rivers, the flooding areas that we've seen, do they have a big impact on the water supply around those areas? I have to think it does, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does, Doug. And again, that's a really good question, and people need to be aware of those problems. It's a good example is when we get a lot of rainfall, and you know, tornado season kind of blows through the northern part of Texas, and heavy rains and severe weather. Well, when the rivers and streams overflow and flood, then there's the risk of the water that's used for drinking becomes contaminated with everything from bacteria, parasites, fertilizer runoff, other chemicals that are used in agriculture. Then the water can become contaminated, and that contaminates the source water that a
sure.
city might use as their drinking water source. So severe weather, especially if there's flooding, remember last year or 2017 when Hurricane Harvey came through the Houston area, and so many wells, private wells, public wells, the wellhead, the hole in the ground was flooded, and so
yeah.
we had all that surface water and all of the contaminants went into the well water, and so all of that took a major cleanup effort to ensure that people had good, safe drinking water after bad weather. So it is bad weather is always a problem for public water systems. You know, it can do everything from flood the water treatment system to flooding a wastewater treatment system. So it just creates all sorts of problems. So I have to be
wow.
real aware and very careful about that.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad to know that, and I'm sure, you know, the authorities in those cities are aware of it and are keeping their eye on it, but it does create a really potential hazard. Dr. Pierce, we've run out of time again for this show. We've been doing this series with you on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Our guest has been Dr. Paul Pierce. He's the founder of Nova Laboratories, and it's just so fabulous to have you with us, Doctor, because you got so much great information to relate to us about. Whoa. Hey, the water came out. I mean, the noise came out about our water supplies and other things that you test. So thank you for taking the time to be with us, and we'll look forward to having you back again next week, okay?
Thank you very much, Doug. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
You are very, very welcome. All right, everybody, that'll do it for this edition of CUTV News Radio with our guest, Dr. Paul Pierce. Again, he's the founder of Nova Biologicals. That laboratory is located in Conroe, Texas. And if you want to learn more about what that lab does and all the various things that they test for individuals, for companies, for communities, go to their website. It's www.novatx for Texas, novatex.com. You'll find out all the information you need, and you'll even find out how to get in touch with Dr. Pierce himself. So I hope you do that if you're really interested in, especially in water supply and their cleanliness, as we have been talking about. That does it for the show. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us. See you next time, everybody. Bye for now.